97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Call from my son. He said, "Hey, Dad, you remember that dinosaur tooth you got me from Morocco? Mark Cox has got one as well." Enjoy your day.
I will. Thank you for that.
But does he have the official letter of authenticity like you received?
I'm sure he does, just like I received. So I don't know why you're doubting me on this. I mean,
what guy took the time to write up that letter in his basement and print it?
A Moroccan prince.
And all I had to do was send him $784, yeah, and then he's going to send me millions at some point.
You had to give him gift cards?
You doubters. My grandson loves that. He does.
I believe that your grandson loves it. He doesn't care if it's an authentic dinosaur tooth, but that's what's funny about it is it's definitely not.
It is. Why do you keep saying that? Why do you keep saying that? It said right online it was real. Liz Cheney said it was real. It must be real.
Whoa. If Liz Cheney says it, then I've changed my mind. I believe it, Mark.
Hey, we have another call.
Oh, we do,
from
Carl.
The voice messages about Liz Cheney.
Ah, let's hear it.
Guys, let's not forget Liz Cheney's role in the January 6th investigations and the cover-up that's going on there now. If Donald Trump is elected president, all of that will be exposed.
That's a good point. I mean, I know her. You could tell even on that committee. I mean, it's one reason she got swamped in her own primary, got primaried out in Wyoming, was her just deep hatred of Donald Trump for what happened on January 6th and for lying about it on that committee and covering up evidence that they didn't like. And then they destroyed a bunch of evidence before it was over with. I mean, it's crazy what they got away with. I agree with that completely. Yeah, I don't give her any credibility. I just wanted to play the former Liz Cheney versus the Liz Cheney now, for sure. A couple other people have called in this morning as well, Carl. Didn't we have...
We have one more. Okay, so your dinosaur friend is Mark also.
Thank you, Mark.
And smart that was guy. Gary talking about Liz Cheney. And this is D. And he's calling about something we talked about in the 6 o'clock hour.
All right.
Yeah, I think that lady was a bit off her rocker. But look, when you blame video games for these kind of things happening, man, you put yourself in the same camp as these people who are blaming the guns for the violence that happened. It's just silly. You're blaming inanimate objects for evil actions. I mean, my friends grew up playing games, and none of us ever thought about shooting anybody.
Well, you know, for a long time, I made that argument about cartoons. I mean, I grew up watching Wile E. Coyote run off the edge of cliffs and then land thousands of feet below in a puff of dust. And I didn't try to go jump off a cliff because I thought that, like Wile E. Coyote, I'd be just fine, right? But there's a little difference between me watching that cartoon and portraying a character in a video game like Call of Duty. The reality factor is different. The character you are in Call of Duty, the people who are shooting at you, the people you're shooting at, the people you're physically fighting with in knife fights and all that look real. I mean, it would take some of the edge off of that situation, I think. It would take some of the what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, I think it desensitizes a lot of the people who regularly play those games. It desensitizes them to the value of human life. But then on top of that, I think it glamorizes it. And I would make the same argument with pornography. Pornography is leading to a lot of issues in marriages. And you can't just blame pornography. You can't just blame video games. But do I think it's a contributing factor? Absolutely.
Yeah,
a lot of this goes back to mental health and other things that we need to address. And a lack of security at schools that have made them soft targets. And that's why we keep seeing this occur. Because in this case with the Georgia shooter, as soon as he was confronted by an armed school resource officer, he immediately surrendered. There was no sort of an aggressive confrontation. I mean, just imagine how different yesterday would have played out had that shooter run into the school resource officer immediately.
Immediately.
Didn't even get into the school.
That's a good point. But I'm not directly tying this school shooting to a video game at all. My point is, I'm trying to determine what's different between 25 or 30 years ago when these things were not as common and now. Well, pharmaceutical use and the all the antidepressants and the drugs and the ADHD medications and all of that that children are on, that's different. That's ramped up
100%.
Tremendously.
Yes.
In that period of time. Am I a pharmacologist and can tell you what that direct link is? No, but I know that to be a fact. That is different than it used to be. The reality factor of these video games is different than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think you could, if that's true, having kids watch car accidents or be involved in a car accident in one of these video games, does that lead them to not drive as fast? I don't know. In Grand Theft Auto, you're driving as fast as you can because you got cops chasing you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying I have all of the answers, but I don't think it's the same argument that the gun is an inanimate object. The gun is an inanimate object. Somebody has to pick it up and fire it. The reason they pick it up and fire it, we can debate.
Right. I would agree.
Mental health plays a big role in that, too.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's not just video games, but you think about the content that's available to a lot of these younger kids on social media. I mean, you see videos of fights and other things, a lot of violence on social media, and I'll use the word glamorized, but that's the only way I can think of to describe it. It looked cool. And I've heard that's even become a trend where people are seeking these videos that show a lot of violence. And I think that you watch enough of that and that just it does something to your brain. So I think there's you can't just say, well, this is the reason. But you have to, at least in my opinion, look at that as something that could be contributing to the change that we're seeing here over the last number of years.
Yeah, I made the mistake of watching a couple of the network newscasts this morning on the shooting. Another mass murder in America, blah, must be the gun, blah, blah, blah. And in each one of these cases, case by case by case, it's a subject where they had a warning in advance that this person was mentally unstable. In many cases, there are adults who are mentally unstable. In this case, it was a 13-year-old when they first interacted with him, who's now 14 years old, who had already threatened to do damage at a school. There's a track record there of mental illness and mental derangement leading to these shootings, and yet these kids continue to have access to weapons. And the people giving them that access need to be held responsible. I'm a responsibility guy. You have to be held responsible or this is never going to change. The mother, and I can't imagine the torture she's going through, who abandoned her children to go shopping and left a 10-year-old in charge, and now a 4-year-old is dead because she left a loaded gun where kids could get access to it. As horrible as that must be for whatever she's going through, she's directly responsible for that happening because she left that weapon unsecured. Period. There's no way around that.
Mm-hmm.
The person that sold the gun to the shooter at the Gateway Academy over here should have been charged with doing that. If more people were held accountable for that, you would have less cases because it's already illegal to sell a gun to somebody who's not allowed to have one.
Right.
This guy couldn't go through a background check and get one, so he went to this guy who was selling one privately, and he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're selling a weapon privately, the responsibility is on you to make sure you're selling it to someone who's allowed to have it. And if you don't, you're breaking the law. But nobody is ever held responsible for it. And we still don't have any answers from the St. Louis police as to why that individual was in charge. They're like, well, that was the FBI's decision. Okay, FBI, why wasn't this guy charged?
Mm-hmm. People just need tougher consequences in general, because is that going to deter everyone? Of course not. But to me, that is what is going to clean up some of the crime issues that we're having here in the city, well, really across the country. There's just not much of a consequence for a lot of these criminals. They know they might get arrested. They're going to get a slap on the wrist and they're out. If they knew there were serious consequences, these parents who leave their guns out in the open for their children to have access to, that would to me, serve as a deterrent. It should.
Yes, you would hope.
You would hope.
All right.
Get more at 971talk.com.